10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Please remember that the number one cause of death in the summer is mayonnaise left out in the sun.
Boys in blue, get a deal. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling every damn night.
He don't spin records. Here we go. It's Walter Sterling. Every damn night. He's not uptight. He's always right. Radio 1210. Sterling calls with music. Talks with you. The latest, the greatest, and time and temperature too. So here comes Sterling. And here we go. On WPHT Radio.
I'm going to give you a number we have.
Digger. All women are expensive, so pick one in your price range and shut up.
Okay, boomer.
For the last time, I am not a boomer. I am Generation X. We are the coolest generation. We know how to give change without a computer. We use paper. We are analog. We are the last golden generation. Don't call me boomer. I hate that.
Things that can push a man away even if he loves you, no matter how special or beautiful you are. Number one, raising your voice. Don't think shouting during arguments makes you stronger. It doesn't show power. It only confuses him. He starts seeing masculine traits in you, and that changes everything. Number two, disrespect and sharp words. No man can thrive in a relationship where every word is met with 10 in return. If you constantly challenge him, insult him, or treat him like he's beneath you. He may stay physically, but emotionally, he's already gone. Men need respect, like women need love. Number 3, constant nagging. Timing matters. If he's overwhelmed or stressed and you choose that moment to pressure him, it won't go well. Be emotionally intelligent. Pay attention to his mood and know when to bring things up.
My husband and I, we have a really happy marriage because we don't communicate. All our friends who love to communicate, now communicating with their divorce lawyers. I'm telling you, if I can give anybody one marriage advice, please, do not talk. Don't read these stupid books. They all talk about talk to each other. Do not talk to each other. Nobody needs to know what's going on in your head. You don't need to know what's going on in their head. Nothing good is going on in anybody's head.
The country from WGAN in Maine to KFBK in Sacramento. It's a live radio show.
What?
Yes, a live radio show at 1017, 1017 East Coast time, 1017 with Walter M. Sterling. And coming up in just seconds, weekend box office. I suspect some movies scored better than you, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
This is the show that's setting the trend. Across the nation, it's setting the trend. It's the bright, exciting sound of Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, Hollywood. Sterling every damn night.
Yes, you do. There's Mateus, boom, boom, Hollywood, in Hollywood. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night. Very exciting. 6 nights a week. There's no other radio show in America that's 6 nights a week. And certainly there's nothing else live anywhere in the world.
Well, I think it's fabulous, Walter.
Do you feel closer to me now that you're on the show so often?
Well, in fact that in Philadelphia, this is the number one show at this time of night, it must indicate that there's something magic happening here.
Yeah, there's no accounting for taste. You have to understand that my neighbors and friends in Philadelphia truly believe that you're not going to get better cuisine than at a Wawa.
Okay, maybe and that's they, it, but I don't
and
know.
And if you say, what about a Sheetz, they will arm wrestle you to the ground.
How vivid.
Yes. Yes.
You want to know if the box office did better than you this weekend?
Yes, I do. Well, I want to know what scored.
Well, I'll tell you, Fantastic Four, the movie I was very enthusiastic about on this show in the past. I said it was going to be great. It is great. One weekend alone, in 3 days, it has made $118 million. Just this weekend alone, Superman, which you enjoy, just did $25 million. So there's a gap there between $25 million and $118 million, making the Fantastic Four First Steps the number one movie in the nation and the U.S. and Canada.
But this is week three for Superman, right?
Yes, that is true. And Jurassic World Rebirth is coming in at number three. And for some reason, F1, the movie that I found so predictable, but it's got cool cars, is still hanging in there at number four. And Smurfs, which I loved Smurfs. I didn't think I could possibly love Smurfs, but it was really entertaining. That's coming in at number five. It made $5.4 million just this week.
And how many weeks has Smurfs been out?
It's been out now for 2 weeks.
All right,
so it has an aggregate of $23 million, which is not a lot, but it is a kid's movie. But it's a good movie. Sometimes good movies don't make a lot of money. But, you know, in Hollywood, the only good movie is the one that makes a lot of money.
The reason this Smurfs movie is not doing better, and it should be doing better, is because there hasn't been new Smurfs cartoons in 25 years. There haven't been
nobody knows who they are.
Right. There hasn't been new Smurfs figurines, characters, stuffed animals, puppets in 25 years. There hasn't been new cartoons on TV in 25 years. It has fallen way behind in terms of awareness among 10-year-olds behind Minecraft, Roblox, TikTok. And then the other ones that you mentioned, the fact is that it's not. I was surprised when they came out with it, honestly. I was surprised. I'm like, really? I'm making a Smurfs movie now? To a 5-year-old, that was long before they were born.
Right. I mean, the drawer, Pago, I believe his name was, originated this character in 1958. It's getting long in the tooth.
And then the thing about Jurassic Park is sometimes a franchise is done. What surprise could there possibly be in Jurassic Park?
Exactly.
I mean, really,
point.
Is there a surprise in Jurassic Park? I have not seen it, and you're welcome to spoil.
No, there's no surprise, although a yellow raft appeared, and it appears in one scene, and we all wondered where the cast from Land of the Lost might be, because that's an old TV show when I was a kid,
right.
And that's what I was thinking. They're going back into the TV world to throw in that as a joke. Maybe it was just coincidental, but I don't believe it.
Now, you know, at the Comic-Cons, Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood, at the Comic-Cons, two of the live action actors from Land of the Lost, they show up at every Comic-Con.
That's pretty cool. I know.
The son and the daughter, they show up at Comic-Cons.
That's Wesley Uhr.
Yes.
He was also on General Hospital. He lives in Palm Springs when he's not going to Comic-Cons and other TV reunion places.
And the sister, and I'm not being mean, and the sister, I think, actually did get braces on her teeth, and she shows up at the Comic-Con as well. There's two reasons for you to go to Comic-Con. Have you ever been to a Comic-Con? I mean, you're a very erudite man with old Mercedes, and you have very elitist friends who all reek of listening to NPR.
It does have a certain tang, doesn't it? The NPR odor, the odoriferous smell of the National Public Radio. You know,
yeah.
I don't go to Comic-Con. I think I went to one once because there was some TV actor or film actor. Maybe it was William Shatner, and I wanted to see how the crowds reacted to William Shatner. When I was a kid, there were Star Trek conventions. That was the closest thing you could get to the Comic Cons of today. That was about as far as I went into that kind of thing. And, you know, the nerds united. It was fun. And now I'm just an old nerd, and it's no good anymore for anyone. But it's sort of the same vibe, those old Star Trek conventions and these Comic Con ones. Of course, there's a lot more technology and a lot more comic book.
Have you seen Star Trek Strange New Worlds?
I've not.
It is Star Trek. The other incarnations were not. Star Trek Discovery was one of the worst television shows I've ever seen in my life. But Star Trek Strange New Worlds follows the Bible. It follows the book. It follows the mythology.
Right.
The captain's in charge. Everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. It has Captain Pike. It isn't Captain Kirk. It's Captain Pike. But Captain Kirk is one of the junior characters on the ship. But it is a pure Star Trek experience, and their new season just started this week. So they just dropped the first two shows this week. Definitely worth seeing. You won't be disappointed. I had the best time, and he's a real captain. The mistake Star Trek Discovery made, the insane mistake, and I will tell you this, and you'll be like, what? Pretty much every senior member of the crew got to be the captain. And I'm like,
oh, well,
no,
that's no good.
No. The point is the captain. The whole story is supposed to be about the crew interactions with the captain and how the captain handled all of these threats. But everybody, it was at the height of the woke movement. It was shot and scripted about 7 years ago. It was at the height of the nonsense. And it was god awful. It was just awful. And by the way, in my opinion, Pawn Stars and the original Star Trek is the same show. You have one person in charge. You have one person in charge. Yeah. Some other wacky C-suite characters around the captain. They argue with the captain for 90 seconds, and then the captain makes the final decision. Strange people come onto the deck. Strange, unusual people show up in their universe, and then the captain has to know what to do with the artifacts that they bring.
Yes, strange alien objects.
All right, Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood, where do I find you on Facebook?
It's MATIASBOMBAL'S, Hollywood like the city, Mateus Boom Balls Hollywood. One more time, MATIASBOMBAL'S, Hollywood like the city.
All right, Mateus gives us updates on the movies and Hollywood gossip, and thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Walter M. Sterling. I have a website. Find out more about the show. It's waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail, waltermsterling@gmail. And I'm so stupid, I answer every damn email I get. Sterling every damn Sunday. It's 37 past the hour, 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling live. It's Sterling every damn Sunday. This is your curse. There's nothing else on. No. Not the Bitcoin show, not the annuities and you show. It's This Is Live on KMBZ, KDKA, WPHT, actual real radio stations. If you go to TikTok, as I do way too often, I've noticed a fascinating dietary trend. That every problem I have, no matter what it is, from swollen ankles to swollen feet to a bad pancreas, can be solved with baking soda and vinegar. Apple cider vinegar and baking soda solves everything from indigestion, swollen ankles, cancer, diabetes. The secret hack. My favorite, the coffee hack that will cause me to lose weight involving pink Himalaya salt, which I'm convinced at this point in time is just white salt that's been dyed by the Morton's company. There seems to be too much pink Himalaya salt. But we're down to that. That baking soda, pink Himalaya salt, coffee, and apple cider vinegar is going to solve every problem, every dietary issue that you and I have. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it great to know that that's all we have to do? I studied that for a while, and I thought, well, really? So here's Jessica DeLuise. And Jessica DeLuise calls herself the Wellness Kitchenista, which is very good marketing, Jessica. Jessica DeLuise, odd wellness trends, diet myths, and libido-boosting foods. Well, I can use the libido-boosting foods, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. But these diet myths and these wellness trends, which always seem to center around baking soda, don't they?
You know, is that true? Hi, Walter. Is that, you know, I have seen a lot of baking soda. I won't lie. But I don't know about the swollen ankles. That one's new to me. Did you see a video about that?
Oh, If I have a tremendous amount of patience, I could watch to the end of those videos. Those videos go on for a very long time, don't they, Jessica? The solution is pink Himalaya salt, baking soda, apple cider vinegar. These are going to solve every problem I've ever had.
You know, I have a certificate in culinary medicine, and so I'm fascinated with food and how, you know, it really can play a role in chronic disease management or even symptom management like you were mentioning. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of videos out there on TikTok that are making claims about things that aren't quite accurate. But there are some things that are truthful, and there's some interesting stuff on TikTok. For example, apple cider vinegar, did you know, is one of those sources, if it's a good quality apple cider vinegar, that has probiotics. So that's kind of interesting.
All right, now hold on a second. Hold on a second. I want to hear everything you have to say, and everything you're saying so far is really interesting. But I have a technical question for you.
Lay it on
if
me.
If you're speaking on a speaker, stop it. If you're on Bluetooth headset, stop it. I need you to just talk into the cell phone directly. Can you do that?
Sure. Hang on. Is that any better for you?
You would be surprised how dramatically better it is, and it's why I look forward to everybody coming on this show to talk directly into the phone, because we're on big radio stations, and radio doesn't like speaker phones, and radio doesn't like Bluetooth. It was invented 110 years ago. It doesn't know what to do with that. Now, Jessica DeLuise, an expert nutritionist, yes, please give us a tip on how to improve libido with diet and any other tips you might have. Go.
Okay, sure. Well, libido is one of those things that we are seeing this on social media all the time, and some foods claim to be aphrodisiacs, but a lot of that, believe it or not, is not substantiated with the data. So, interestingly, there are some foods that have a lot of nutrition, Walter, and of course they can support some of those hormones that we make, or even some things claim to improve sperm count, and maybe, but I think more or less a lot of it is situational. So, you know, I've seen a lot of videos about oysters, but think about that as an example. Where are you typically when you have oysters? You're on vacation, you're at a fancy restaurant usually. And so I think a lot of that is just a vibe and a mood that you're setting when you eat some of those foods. So a lot of that is not really super clear in the data. And we really, as you know, healthcare providers, we really like data when we talk to patients. And so we want to make sure that when we give those recommendations, we look directly to the scientific research. So that's one that I will say I've seen on social, but doesn't really hold up.
Any other tips? Any other thing you see on social that makes you crazy?
You know what? There is something that I've been recently seeing where people are eating a ton of carrots to give themselves a natural tan.
No.
Which is really...
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh. For sure. For sure. But you know what? This one does hold up, believe it or not. If you do eat a lot of foods with something called beta carotene. Have you heard of that? It's an antioxidant.
Yeah.
Yep. And so if you eat a lot of foods with beta carotene, which aren't just carrots, I mean, a variety of different foods have beta carotene, your skin actually can start to get an orange hue, tint to it. But I do want to make sure that people recognize, you know, that's one thing, but your skin can change colors for lots of other reasons. So you want to make sure that your liver is healthy and you're always getting checked out by your healthcare provider. If your skin, or especially your eyes, like the white of your eyes, if that ever changes color, make sure that you head to your provider's office and get checked out.
And what about this baking soda nonsense, the endless baking soda assault?
Yeah, baking soda. You know, it's funny, I just did a video on that. People are using baking soda for sweating, which is kind of an interesting thing. They're going to their cupboards and they're getting baking soda for sweating.
What does that mean? Wait. What does it mean? It means to make them sweat or to stop sweating?
To sprinkle on their body to help them absorb the sweat and the moisture.
Oh, my God.
So, but you know what? That actually is true. People are doing it. And a lot of the baby powder companies have replaced talcum powder with baking soda, believe it or not. So some of those companies, if you actually go to the store and look at the labels, you'll see that it is, in fact, baking soda these days. I grew up in a generation that was always talcum powder, but now it's baking soda. And they're putting it everywhere, sprinkling it in shoes, because it's such a great, I mean, if you think about when we cook with it, it absorbs moisture and it thickens things. And so it does exactly that on our body or in our shoes. It absorbs that moisture and dries everything out. So listen, that one is true. That one is not a lie.
Other tips. What do I need? What should I be eating to have better sexo?
Oh, well, I mean, I will say that anything that gives you energy or supports your heart health and stamina are always great things.
I wouldn't know. Right? I'm not a wait, stop. I'm not a nutritionist, Jessica. I need specifics.
Yeah, well, I can't give you specifics because everyone's a little bit different. So I want to make sure that I'm, you know, being safe with this. But I would say that for example, here's a good one. This one I can say. All of our hormones are made with using fat. So fat happens to be dietary fat, happens to be really important for making hormones. So that's something to keep in mind, those healthful fats. And we often
talk
about
Hey, you got to listen to me. I have no idea what healthy fats are. I'm from New Jersey. What are healthy fats?
So a healthful fat, when we talk about heart health specifically, would be something like olive oil. So that's a helpful fat that is typically recommended. And we often will recommend that instead of things like saturated fat, which is things like butter or things that are solid at room temperature, it's often recommended we replace some of those more solid fats with things like olive oil. Even avocado oil has some what we call unsaturated fats, monounsaturated fats. So that's the specific type of fat that we find in olive oil. And so those tend to be much considered heart healthy. And so that would be a really good choice. Mm-hmm.
Jessica DeLuise, known as the Wellness Kitchenista. I actually said it that time. The Wellness Kitchenista, Jessica DeLuise, has given us tips on wellness trends, diet myths, and libido-boosting foods, but I had to beg her for those. Basically, you need to mainline olive oil, and good luck finding actual olive oil. I think you're a terrific guest. I will have you on again. Now, Jessica, how do we find you on the internet? Do you have a website?
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, Walter, for having me. You can head to thewellnesskitchenista.com, and I'm on all the social platforms, including I just started a Substack where I actually cook live with people that are subscribed there. So if you want to do a monthly live cooking class with me, go ahead and subscribe on the Substack.
What a great idea. Now, that would be fun. Jessica DeLuise, thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Here he comes every damn Sterling, and he's always right. Hey, it's Sterling every damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right. When he comes on the air, the misfits love it, but the bosses get scared. Hey, it's Sterling every damn night. He's not the young generation, but
Hear the dough, eat the dough, J.B. Bakery.
Can you believe it? You know, the only reason I have these two clowns on is so we can hear this jingle. This jingle makes me very happy. And I know it makes Father Jim Drucker very happy because, you know, rarely has he heard a jingle that good. And then there's a Selena Ballerina of J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. This is not an infomercial. It is not a commercial. Selena and Steve, who is in a timeout, are the operators of J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. They are friends. And I have so much respect for you. If you're an entrepreneur, if you have decided to run a small business and want to make it bigger, and you do everything well, then Steve and Selena took an insurance policy, and now they have a Catholic priest, a retired Catholic priest, in the entranceway to their bakery, greeting Jews, Protestants, Episcopalians, without favor. He shakes their hand. He asks if they need help or a rosary. I says, you carry around new rosaries, don't you, that you hand out to unsuspecting Christians. Isn't that right?
Not likely, because they're pretty expensive, actually, Walter. You know, if I had the old plastic ones, I'd be happy to give them out. But today, there are a lot of money for these rosaries. And I tell everyone they have 10 fingers, 10 Hail Marys. That's a rosary, an inbuilt rosary in our hand.
You went to a theologian school to come up with that? That's the best you can do, Father?
It was actually told to me by Father Paul Garrity, who has since passed on, because one time I was very nervous, scrupulous. I didn't have the rosary. He said, Jimmy, you have 10 fingers, 10 Hail Marys. You're driving. Just pray your rosary. You know the mysteries. Pray the rosary.
My father used to, when I was a kid, 9, 10, 11 years old, and I was expressing the usual concerns. My father said, hey, you got 10 fingers, right? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And you got 10 toes. Yeah, okay. Well, that means you can do anything anybody else has ever done if you concentrate and decide to do it. You can do it. All right, now there's
beautiful.
Selena. You know, it was incredible, and he suffered through Catholic school. There's Selena, who is a ballerina and, more amazingly, a pageant girl. What is the hot-selling dessert-y item at J.B. Bakery this week?
Everything blueberry. My favorite is the blueberry crumble donut. It's stuffed with fresh New Jersey blueberries. It's got a thick, creamy vanilla icing on top and fresh butter crumbs. It's so good. And if you love New Jersey, you know it's berry season. You got to come get one or try anything blueberry now.
Blueberries from New Jersey. Very few people realize that New Jersey is the number one producer of blueberries in America. And therefore, they're great there. You mentioned if you love New Jersey, nobody who doesn't live there loves New Jersey. Only those of us who were born there love New Jersey because we get it. Otherwise, there is just a sea of things to offend you. If you weren't born in New Jersey, all of it is there to offend you. And but the oasis in that is the J.B. Bakery. When a midnight misfit goes into the J.B. Bakery and says, I listen to Sterling every damn night, you get a free donut, and therefore you should go. More importantly, I know there's been a new air conditioner installed, Selena. How is that going?
Oh, it's amazing. It's the best thing we've done, and it's the best thing all summer. I think that'll happen.
Isn't it shocking that I had to actually call you guys out on that on the air to get a new air conditioner in? And this is true of thousands of people who imagine they can get through a summer without air conditioning in 2025, when technology has evolved far past their notion of a hall fan, a box fan. That's what they call them, a box fan. It's nonsense. So congratulations on getting up to 2025 and dragging yourselves out of 1968. How's business?
Business is great. Lots of shore traffic these days. Everyone's going down to the Jersey Shore, but we're trying to get ready for Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, which is on August 4th. So we're getting ready for that.
Big chocolate chip cookies, soft ones. What kind do you sell?
All different kinds. Little ones, big ones, crispy ones, soft ones. Ones that are half brownie, half chocolate chip cookie. Everything chocolate chip cookie will be out.
Oh. I just sit here with my type 2 contemplating this, fantasizing about everything you just said. There's Father Jim Drucker, one of the greatest disc jockeys who ever lived, by the way. Thank you for your many blessings, Father. And thank you, Selena Ballerina, beauty queen, pageant queen, and manager of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Thanks for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Oh, my God. I have a website. Check it, waltersterlingshow.com.
Walter Sterling is here with the latest and the greatest.
Here's Walter Sterling, fun radio at its best. Sterling every damn night.
All right, here we are. We're here every damn night, and you can hear me every damn night with the Odyssey app. What? Yes, the Odyssey app. What? Yeah, it's the best company with the worst name ever. It is spelled A-U-D-A-C-Y, not a name found in nature. It's a name they made up. They thought was like big and combined with audio is the crappiest name. And it's tragic because it's the best radio company I've ever worked with. That's what I said. Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y, get the app. And then you can hear me every night as punishment for all of the good things you've done. All of your trips to Los Angeles, all the times that you lied about, I've got some more work to do here. I'm going to spend the weekend here. I've got meetings on Monday. You didn't have meetings on Monday. I know you. You decided you want to spend the weekend in L.A., and so you spent the weekend there, but you lied. This is your punishment. You get to listen to me six nights a week, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the Odyssey app. You can hear me on WPHT in Philadelphia, giant radio station. But right now, you can hear me on KMBZ in Kansas City, KDKA in Pittsburgh, WGAN in Maine. Phil Zachary's sitting there going, I think this was a good decision. I'm not really sure. And Michael Ewing. God, I love Michael Ewing in Sebring, Florida, where we're going to do our show from on February 20th. Now, listen, here's something you absolutely not only were not invited to, and neither was I. No way in hell would we be invited to this. This weekend was Steve Jobs' daughter's wedding. A $6.7 million wedding in England. Among the people who attended was Bruce Springsteen's daughter, Jessica. One of nine bridesmaids wore a red satin cocktail gown. Jessica Springsteen was at Eve Jobs' wedding because they're both horse girls. They're horsey girls. They both horseback ride for fun. Now, if you had a daughter who ever threatened you with a hobby of horseback riding, you know the special hell that it puts you into economically. But for Steve Jobs' daughter, incidental. For Bruce Springsteen's daughter, incidental. I know some other people who hung out with them, other women who hung out with them, and it's a tight little bunch there. Now, who did she marry in England at the All Angels Church in Great Tew, England? Guests were celebrating wedding, wore elegant gowns and dinner jackets. $6.7 million wedding. Well, who'd she marry? Who did she marry? Harry Charles, an Olympic equestrian, a top of the food chain equestrian, married into this circle of women who are very expensive equestrians. Wait a minute. Harry Charles. This is a man who has a name that never needs deodorant. His cologne is Ivory Soap. This is one of those guys, you know, that guy, no matter how many hours he was on that horse, he never perspired one drop. Unlike you and me, we think about horses and we start to perspire immediately. What color is his hair? Any guesses? You over there. Yes. That's right. His hair is perfect blonde. And does it move when he's jumping? No, his hair never moves. His shirt never wrinkles. He's an Olympic equestrian. A very expensive hobby. There's no way in heck this is a street guy. But what I love is to this second, with a daughter like that, Billy Joel's going to present himself as the rips the balls from your back. It's going to be ripping the balls from your back. He's going to present himself as a guy who had to rock and roll his way out of Jersey. The way you get out of Jersey is you get on a bus and you go to the Port Authority station. You know, he's always talking, street guy, and the only way for me to get out of Jersey was with rock and roll. No, I grew up in Jersey. You get on a bus or maybe the New Jersey Transit train, and you go to Hoboken. That's it. It's not a big deal to get out of Jersey. It's really not. But there it is. He's a street guy. Bruce Springsteen is a street guy. Meanwhile, his daughter is spending most of his money on equestrians, and now she's a bridesmaid in Eve Jobs' wedding. A wedding, are you going? No. Sterling every damn Sunday.
All news, more news, day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night.
What's your advice for a happy marriage?
Don't argue with your husband. Men are always right.
Always right. Men are always right. And there you are, stuck in the car. There you are, coming back from the vacation. And I hope you had the opportunity to indulge in one of the greatest American traditions. I am fascinated by American traditions that no way in hell would ever happen in Spain or the south of France, especially the south of France, or Russia, just because it's a capitalistic enterprise. Have you been to a drive-through brew? Have you been to a beer barn? Those are the two things they're called. What is that? What? Is that like a drive-through, you know, like a McDonald's? No. It is a submersive experience, and subversive, but it's a submersive experience, the drive-through brew. I will describe it to you now, because the first time I saw it, I saw one in North Carolina. I also saw one in Parma, Ohio. If you've seen a drive-through brew, a beer barn, I'd like to know about it. This is a live radio show. It's an interactive radio show. That means you have a job to do, which is to interact with me. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Don't ask me why. We couldn't get a better number. It's just the best we can do today. Let me explain what this is. I want you to imagine a normal house, and it has an attached garage, and somebody said, we don't need the garage. This is what we need to do. We need to knock out the back of the garage. Open the front, knock out the back, allowing people to drive into the garage. And then let's load up the garage with giant refrigerator units. Refrigerator units that engulf them, that surround the car. They make the car helpless. It cannot escape. And refrigerator units, and we're going to fill it with two things, beer and soda. That's it. Beer, soda, that's it. And then over there is a counter to your right where the cashier is. And behind the counter is a wall of T-shirts that say, I have visited the drive-through brew. That's it. A wall of T-shirts that say, I have to adjust my T-shirt. A wall of T-shirts that say, I have been to the drive-through brew. And then next to that is a wall of cigarettes, any brand of cigarette you want, without judgment, and lighters that say, I've been to the drive-through brew. Now, as I say, I saw one in North Carolina, and of course went in immediately. And I saw one in Parma, Ohio, and went in immediately. I was fascinated by it. They're open late. I'm a big believer, because you and I work right now in 24-hour businesses. I think it's close. Maybe you know of a 24-hour drive-through brew. Now, what happens when you drive in? Do you get out and pick the beer or soda you want? No. Big signs everywhere that say, do not get out of the car. Wow. That's like room service at a Four Seasons for people who live in a trailer park. There we are in the car, surrounded by beer. Every type of beer in every configuration. Six-pack, singles, cases. Oh, and kegs. Yes, you can take it to the next level and get a keg of Budweiser, a keg of Michelob. Put it in your trunk. Do you do that? No. The guy does it. The guy puts it in your trunk. You pop the trunk. You pop the trunk. The guy puts it in. It's perfect. You don't have to move your fat butt out of that car. You sit there and you are surrounded by capitalism, American tradition. And now that I've explained to you what a beer barn is, what a drive-through brew is, can you imagine that in Spain, the south of France, the Algarve, the south of Portugal? Can you imagine that anyplace else but here? Do you think in Switzerland they have a drive-through brew? Do you think in Denmark? No, of course not. This is an American tradition, a great thing to do on vacation. I would suspect it's only done on vacation. Well, I have been fascinated by this, possibly obsessed with drive-through brews. I had a picture up on Facebook for quite some time of myself in an appropriate vacation hat, made of should be straw, but probably isn't. And I've been fascinated about what's it like to work there. Because you don't know if somebody's coming. You don't know if it's going to be busy, not busy. You might go through a whole day without anybody driving in. Or you might have a traffic jam outside. You don't know. You don't know. And I thought, every time I've been in one, there have been two people, a manager and somebody who works there. And I've thought, what is the dynamic? What is the HR dynamic of working in a drive-through brew?
Oh, hi. With another edition of Drive Through Brew, this is JJ Wilson. Last week, the manager left for vacation. This week, he's back at work, chatting with his one and only employee, young Jake.
Did you and your wife have a good vacation?
Very nice, thank you.
What'd you do?
Well, let's see. The first day, we drove to a lake and had lunch at a marina.
Did you rent a boat or a jet ski or go parasailing or yacht? Or anything?
No, just ate and looked at the water.
Then what?
The next day we drove about 100 miles to a Civil War battlefield.
Was there fake soldiers all dressed up pretending to shoot each other and all that stuff?
No, just grassy fields and some small signs.
Sheesh, old people sure take the boringest vacations. Didn't you do nothing exciting?
We did go to an amusement park one day.
Now you're getting warm. Did you go on any scary roller coasters?
No, my wife was tired, so we just sat and watched.
Man, I hope I die before I start acting half dead like that.
Well, wait, there was one thing. While we were sitting there, two girls got off a ride and threw up right in front of us.
Now we're talking. Did you get some good pictures?
Is that it? Or could this conversation possibly get worse? Listen next week when Jake says...
I heard of an old geezer who got off a roller coaster and couldn't walk, speak, hear, or see. In the first loop, he lost his cane, his glasses, his hearing aids, and his dentures.
That's next time on Drive Through Brew. Word cars.
All right, have you been to a drive through brew? Have you had the experience of a drive through brew? Did you go in Parma, Ohio, or North Carolina, or did you find yet another location of the unique American tradition known as a drive-through brew, or, depending on where you're from, a beer barn? Here's your phone number. I'm live. You can talk to me right now. Yeah, it's nothing else. It's just us live, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk a little bit about cause and effect. In the NYPD, when they created the CompStat model, they started dragging precinct commanders down to one police plaza, and they had to answer for conditions in the precinct. If they didn't have the right answers, they either were forced to retire or bounced. So these precinct commanders became paranoid, and, you know, as they say, things run downhill. So they would start barking orders at the cops to solve the problems. They didn't want to know how things got solved, but they just wanted things to get solved. Well, one precinct in the Bronx, the commanding officer became aware of a homeless population that was basically stealing shopping carts from different stores, and it was becoming an eyesore. And before you knew it, you had shopping carts stolen from all these different supermarkets and pharmacies, and they were littering the precinct. And the homeless people loaded up with their crap, and they push it around the neighborhood. So the commanding officer one day told the outgoing 4 to 12 platoon, I don't want to see any more homeless people pushing around these stolen shopping carts. Arrest them. Do whatever you got to do. I don't want to see them anymore. And if this condition doesn't get cleaned up, no one's getting any time off. So there were a pair of guys in the 4 to 12, let's just say that they weren't too bright. And they came up with the bright idea. They came into work the following day with a Sawzall and several El Diablo blades. And what they did was they drove around the precinct. They stopped homeless people pushing around these carts. And instead of arresting them, they cut one of the wheels off. So you're not going to get around with a three-wheel shopping cart. So the homeless people would curse at him, and the cart would get thrown off to the side in the woods, and that was the end of it. So this guy was all excited, puffing out his chest. Well, what happened is these stores start realizing they're short on shopping carts. So they have their loss prevention team look into it. Well, loss prevention guys are usually retired cops. They drove around the neighborhood, and they find all these damaged shopping carts missing one wheel. So what do? They start going to the precincts and making criminal mischief reports for these dump shopping carts. The next thing you know, the commanding officer doesn't have a problem with homeless people missing shopping carts. He's got all these criminal mischief complaints coming in from all these supermarket chains. He figures out who did it, and he calls him into his office, and he says, listen, I don't care what you two got to do. You better get these shopping carts fixed. So what these cops did was they got a police van. They rounded up all the shopping carts. They brought it to a body shop, and they made a deal with the body shop owner that they wouldn't ticket around his business if he could weld the wheels back onto the shopping carts. So within a couple of days, all the carts were replaced and brought back, and they told the loss prevention guys, please stop making these reports. Well, the commanding officer asked the cop, how'd you get this done? When he started explaining to him, he goes, you know what? I'm better off not knowing. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Lesbians in Space.
Are you a parking ticket? I don't know. You've got fine written all over you. Oh, what's that? Oh, very fine. My bad. I didn't read the small print.
Rebecca Kaner, welcome, my Midnight Misfits, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, the Datz family in Pittman, New Jersey, and Dan at 855-839-2222. 1210. Dan at 855-839-1210. Welcome to the Giant Radio Show, Dan.
Hello, Walter. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm indoors.
Oh, well, at least you're protected from the extreme heat and the extreme of whatever may be other than the heat. So that's good to know.
But yeah, I'm surrounded by my daughters, so I'm subject to all other extremes, even though I'm indoors.
Yeah, but at least you're, for what it's worth, surrounded by family that loves you, and that's what matters in life.
Really? Because I view it as a burden. I'm glad you think that's good. I view it as a burden. Anytime anybody says something with the word family in it, I view that as a threat. Family reunion, family dinner, family holiday. I view all of that as a threat, Dan. How about you?
Well, since it's only now my mom and I in Independence, Missouri, and just want to let you know that I made it through. I got a really great paying job here in Independence, Missouri. I called earlier about how I made it as a result of my father's tragic death. And
yes,
I live in my car, so, you know.
Yes. Stop. Now I know who you are. So listen, here's Dan, who when he first called us was living in his car. And that was a couple years ago, Dan. And he did what he had to do to get out of his car and improve his life. Give me two steps that you took to get out of that car. What did you do?
Well, number one, while I was living there, I started looking still for jobs. And then number two, I got a post office box number, and because in that way I could have my mail sent to me, and also a storage unit. That way, when I had stuff in my vehicle, because basically when you see a car filled to the gills, one of two things probably goes through your mind. They're either on their trip somewhere, or they're moving, or they're using it as a resident. And if you're a cop and you see things over the window, you just presume that they're living out of it. And I was trying to keep all the suspicion down, so I kept everything below the windows, and everything else that was the extra, I put in the storage unit. And I lived out of my car, and it were not for the angel in the flesh, if you would, which is, she is out of Las Vegas, the one that helped me, that you know, and she needed help with a certain thing at where she lived until she got down there from Sacramento. And I stayed there for a year and a half, took care of the house, made sure no one vandalized it or anything. And for the time that I was there.
Hey, listen, Dan, excuse me. The network is making demands.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
No, really, how do I get my male cat to stop peeing everywhere?
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, baby shots.
My gosh, there's Dave Scott, star of all media, Spaced Out Radio and spacedoutradio.com. That's his website. He's a journalist, an expert on UFOs, UAPs, portals, time travel, conspiracy theories, and ghost stories. Now, Dave, I understand you went on a field trip this weekend. Is that true?
It is very true. But before we get into that, did you make the Nanaimo bars yesterday?
I made half the Nanaimo bars. Let me tell you what I did. The Nanaimo bars is a known Canadian treat, and they look delicious, and I ordered some from Amazon because Dave had talked about it. I get the box, I open it up, I unbox it, and there are three packs of mix that I have to make. I thought I was going to open up, tear open, and eat one of these delicious bars. At least he says they're delicious. Then I start to read the instructions on how to do the baking, and it's not that simple. I started it. It's a three-layer bar. It's a three-layer cake candy bar. I made the first layer. You heat it up, then you put it in the oven for 6 minutes. You stir it, then you put it in the pan, and then you put that in the refrigerator until it's cold. I did that. That's where we're at. When I get off the air tonight, I'm going to finish it. But again, it involves many chemical reactions. I will do it, and I will share with you tomorrow night what it tastes like.
I cannot wait. I am so excited about that, to be honest with you. So excited.
Dave Scott is an expert on all known snack foods in Canada, being a native Canadian, of which there are very few. He's a native Canadian. Most of the Canadian population now are American celebrities running to Canada to be saved.
And, no, none of them. We're not accepting any of them.
See, that's the part the arrogant American celebrities did not factor in. They forgot that every one of these countries that they want to flee to has immigration laws, like we do. But they have immigration laws. And let me just share with you something, because I printed out every immigration law of any real country in the world. But just get a load of this. Let's say you want to move to Austria. Many countries in the European Union have tough immigration laws. However, Austria has one of the longest processes to become a citizen. Anyone who is not a citizen of the EU and is staying longer than 6 months must have a residence permit before entering Austria. People who plan to stay longer than 24 months must sign an integration agreement, a process designed to enhance their German language skills. An ability to participate in social, economic, and cultural life in Austria. Permanent residents wanting to go to Austria must live in the country continuously for a period of, ready, 10 years before being eligible to apply for citizenship. And if approved, applicants must renounce their citizenship from wherever they came from. To become a citizen of Canada, you have to have paid Canadian taxes for 4 years, nonstop. You can't have missed a beat. You must have spent X number of days each of those 4 years in Canada, and you must be able to speak fluent English or French. So these whack jobs who think, yeah, I'm going to go to Canada and you're going to be welcomed with open arms. No way. Nowhere.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that simple.
Dave Scott, now what do we do with aliens who visit us? Don't they have to have passports and stuff?
Well, apparently they have the universal passport that gets them ability to fly in and out of anywhere they choose. So, you know, if we could get that international passport, I think we'd be okay.
Wow. Now, did you go away this weekend? Did you make a field trip?
I did. I made a field trip to our Flight 21 crash site where we have been investigating for a number of weeks now, every Saturday, to try and figure out the high strangeness that is happening there. So for people who don't know Flight 21, it is an area where a plane crashed on July 8th, 1965, killing 52 people, and it is still known as Canada's largest unsolved mass murder, and it is still an open case by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So why are we there? Well, we are there because over the years of going there, we have had interactions with UFOs, aliens, ghosts, as well as Sasquatch. So one of my research partners, Lolly Bennett, was with me. She is of First Nations descent. We brought her out there for the first time last week in order to see how the energy and how everything would react to a First Nations person being there, drumming and singing. And it was actually quite incredible. My main investigator partner, Tim, could not make it last night. So Lolly and I went out there, and we were there probably an hour and a half, and she was like, hey, this is really quiet. This is really peaceful. I said, wait until dusk starts to arrive. Well, around here, dusk starts to arrive around 8:45, 9 o'clock, as we start getting a little bit further and further away each day from solstice. And as luck would have it, we were not disappointed. as we were sitting on our lawn chairs, relaxing, trying to just enjoy the area and the sereneness and wonder how quiet it was, I would say about 60 yards in front of us in the forest where we cannot see because of the thickness of the trees, we hear something massive. And if you understand Bigfoot or you've learned about Bigfoot in the past, you will know that one of the ways that they try to communicate, allegedly, is by what they call tree knocking. And that is when they take a piece of wood or maybe a rock and they slam it against a tree in order to make sound. Well, much to our surprise, last night, about 60 yards away from us, we hear the loudest double crack. It went crack, crack about on this tree about 60 yards away from us. We both looked at each other and we kind of swore, because that's what you do in those situations. You never say anything polite. You usually have to use profanity when things like that happen. And there was a couple of swear words said, because it absolutely startled and stunned us when this happened. I've never heard it that close. I have heard tree knocking before off in the distance, but this was like right up close and personal. Just whap, whap against this tree, and it was very loud. So immediately I got Lolly to bang on her drum to mimic the tapping on her drum. So she hit her drum. Bang, bang. Everything was quiet. And the reason why I did that, got her to do that, Walter, was because of two reasons. Number one, if it is Sasquatch, then they will know that we can communicate back with them. What number two is, if it was, say, a wild animal, let's say hypothetically tripped over a tree that had fallen and snapped one of its branches and then stepped on it on the way down, we would let that big animal know, whether it was a moose, a grizzly bear, a black bear, or even a wild horse. We would let it know that, hey, we're in this area too. Please stay away with us. Because when they hear human noise, they usually tend to stay away, unless it's grizzly bears who are just pissed off and curious like a house cat each and every day. On that note, she banged it again. Bang, bang. Nothing happened. The third time she banged it on the drum, did a double tap, we hear something big going through the trees, probably still 60 yards away from us, but at a different angle. Now, I don't know about you, but I felt really small when that happened, Walter, because we never saw the creature. We don't know if it was an animal. We don't know if it was our friendly neighborhood Sasquatch. And I've been trying to poetically put it into my mind all night long, and even after it happened last night when we were on our way out of the forest, did I hear a double tap on a tree, or is this my skepticism trying to think logically and say, well, this was maybe a tree branch that snapped and something stepped on it, and that's what made the double sound. But the more I realize it, the more I think about it, no, I have to accept my first answer, and that was a double tap on a tree, letting us know that Sasquatch was in the area.
Were you scared?
Absolutely, yes.
And you feel the Absolutely. Tapping was for you?
100%. Now, the reason why I think it was that was about 15 minutes before that, Lolly actually started drumming and singing a First Nations song, which was a welcoming song, welcoming the spirits and welcoming the creatures in towards us, like a peace offering type of song. And then all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, to have this happen, I found it way too coincidental.
And what was your reaction to this? Did you try to tap back? Did you try to get its attention, or did you try to run away?
No, we stayed right there, right where we were, because we were in an open area, and the area isn't very big, okay? Maybe the size of a big living room in a house, okay? That's literally the size of the area we're in. But we have access to the trails, where we can see what is coming down certain trails. So and we stayed right there. Yes, go ahead.
And what's your next step? Are you going to go back there again next weekend? What do you do with this event? How do you integrate this into your work?
Well, what we're going to have to do, Walter, is we're going to have to, next week when we go in there, we're going to have to set up, and well, first off, we're going to have to check the area, because when we heard the noise of something kind of rushing through the trees, we know just by location of where that sound was that that was by our gifting site. That noise was literally, you know, right by the tree where we have a piece of granite, or pardon me, a piece of jade. We have a couple of bird feathers there, one hawk feather, one raven feather. We have a whistle there. We have a couple of coins there. So the first thing that we're going to be doing is we are going to go check that area to see now if anything has moved. Then we're going to go wander into that other area where the noise we believe came from, to see if there's any footprints, to see if there is any maybe broken branches that look freshly broken.
Right.
Okay. We would have, if my buddy Tim was with us last night, I think we would have went in there to at least have a peek, because that way, in case it was a wild animal, we would have had an extra present for them if they came at us, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. Dave Scott, the legendary Dave Scott, that's who you and I are talking to on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
I would be gay in a heartbeat if it didn't involve that much conversation.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
It's for you every damn night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the East Coast. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You can listen to me on the Odyssey app. What? A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey app. Click on it. On WPHT, you can hear me every damn night. Right, Rebecca Kaner? You can hear me. Catherine Arthur? Well, you can hear me. We are together. We are Midnight Misfits. We don't belong. We belong with each other. It's okay. 340 miles is the average drive that Americans go on vacation to get to the mountains, the beach, down the shore. We drive an average of 340 miles, which is probably 9 hours, 8.5 hours. So you and I are stuck in that car with people who claim to be our relatives, but we really don't know. I mean, did you do the test? Did you do all that? And it's a hell drive because, all right, we're going to load up with snacks. We have games. We have everything we need. We've got multiple sources of music, entertainment. We're good. Okay, that works for the first 43 minutes. After the first 43 minutes, we're just stuck with each other. And that car keeps getting smaller and smaller. And there's always one adult that says, we're just going to keep driving. We're going to keep driving. And there's one passenger who says, I really have to go to the bathroom now. We're going to keep driving. And the other adult goes, We could stop for a few minutes. It's all right. We really could. Don't try to contradict me in front of the kids. Don't contradict me in front of the kids. Don't do that. We're not stopping. Well, then they're going to pee on the seat. Do you understand? Nonsense. They can hold it. I held it. I held it for 12 years of school. And that's how it goes. It's a terrible experience. The only reason that I've ever lusted for a private jet was to get from Philadelphia down the shore. No, I'm sorry, not down the shore. To get from Philadelphia to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Even people who live in Raleigh have said to me, what's at the Outer Banks? What is it? People who live in Raleigh don't know what's in the Outer Banks. The answer is nothing. There's nothing in the Outer Banks. Nothing. What? This should be incredible. People drive 4 days to get there. Well, let me tell you what's there, in case you're ever tempted. There's a beach. And to me, it's an average beach. It's not spectacular. It's not bad. It's an average beach. And then there's a dune, which is hard to get over if you're of a certain physique and age. It's a tough dune. And then there's a house, the house that you rented for too much money, and then a couple other houses around it for people who have less money. And then there's the road, and across the road there's nothing. Now, you go across A1A in Florida, and across that road there's a lot to do. There are wet tea contests, and then over there is the button, which has wet tea contests. And then, oh my gosh, look at that, there's a Hooters on the beach and a wet tea contest. And then, yes, that's great, that's a terrific fudge shop and a wet tea contest. Everything you want in life is on either side of A1A in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. Anything you want. Anything. Any retail opportunity, entertainment opportunity, there it is. Down the Jersey Shore, what do you got? Oh, across the street is a fudge shop. And then there is JB Bakery. And then you can play skeetball, which is my favorite sport. And miniature golf. That's down the shore. On the other side from the Outer Banks, there's nothing. Way down there is a Harris Teeter supermarket. Grossly overpriced, ridiculous supermarket. Uncomfortable, the whole thing. And I will be stuck there for 1 week with all of my relatives and their friends, all of them. And I will be transcribed. Everything I say will be recorded. It's just you and me, because everybody in the back seat is asleep now. You're driving the 18-wheeler and you're alone. And it's been a long time since the last love stop. And there's only one Buc-ee's that accepts an 18-wheeler. Shame on them. Have you been to a Buc-ee's? 100 gas pumps. 100 gas pumps and the cheapest gas you're going to find. And when you go inside Buc-ee's, yes, there's a men's room and a woman's room, and they're immaculate because there's an attendant inside both of them. And you want fudge? They make the fudge. You want tacos? They make the tacos in front of you. You want to smoke and nobody know it? Every brand you could ever imagine, and every type of cigarette of every brand you could ever imagine. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. I've got an email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And if you are a midnight misfit and you have an official membership card, you're in luck, because I have a secret message for you tonight. You will need the membership card to decode it. Where do you get the membership card? You go to WalterSterlingShow.com, Rebecca Kaner, WalterSterlingShow.com, and download it. It's free. You can print it out right now.
This is breaking news.
Here is the secret message that you can only decode with the decoder card. Are you ready? Here it is. Write it down. I'm only going to repeat it once. The letter M as in Mary. K. X, U, the letter U, the number 1, and the letter R. That's the first word. It's a two-word secret message. And then the second word is 9, 4, O, and K. Two words, secret message, related to the show tonight. Related to tonight's show. Here we go. Once more. You ready?
This is breaking news.
Stupid. M as in Mary. K as in Kevin. X. U. 1. R. And then the second word is 9, 4. 0. K. A secret message for Midnight Misfits. Congratulations on decoding it. It is two words that have infiltrated our lives at every level. It is impossible to engage in social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, without running into those two words. Put on earth to make us crazy, those two words. All right, Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday, and I have a special challenge tomorrow, because you see, about 2 weeks ago, our car that I liked was totaled. Nobody was hurt. We didn't do anything. Guy ran a stop sign, ran into the back of our car. Take it to the dealer. Dealer looks it over. There's a dent there, a dent there. The windshield washer doesn't work. The high beams don't work. And they decide it's totaled. The dealer decides it's totaled. The insurance company says, yes, it's totaled. Insurance companies don't like to repair old used cars. It will not increase the value. They just like to leave it be. Well, we got a gift. Boy, did we get a gift. The insurance company appraised the car for more than our car loan. It paid off the damn car loan. And it gave us extra. We had change. We got extra money. Well, in a fever, my wife goes, let's get a new car. Let's replace it quickly because we're going to go away next week. She needs the car. We need the car. We go to our favorite dealer, which is Klaben Motors. K-L-A-B-E-N, online, Klaben Motors, to find a new used car. Now, I'm in radio. There's no way in hell I'm buying a new car. There was a time, ladies and gentlemen, when I was in radio and I wore a navy blue suit, a white button-down shirt, a rep tie and wingtip shoes, and I consulted companies like Parade Magazine and Sirius XM. And buying a new car was easy, not an issue. Hardly a wink in the eye. And I was decadent in my purchases at that time. But that was a very, very long time ago. Now I'm negotiating for a loan for a used car. And you know how they love that. A loan for a used car. Let's just think about that in an economic standpoint. Well, so my wife and I, we go to the Klaben website. We look around. We see what we like. And I think we're going to wind up with a Mazda. Now, my wife has made the very technical decision. Oh, my gosh, it's a white interior and blue on the outside. I love it. That's her favorite color combination. White on the inside, navy blue on the outside. She never really thought this through because we still have a 13-year-old who eats sticky things. And white and sticky, bad combination. But the one thing I have learned, hey, you, George, Frank, Neil, listen, the one thing I've learned in marriage is whatever car you want, honey, is the right car. Whatever car you think would be good, that's the one we want. And so we looked at them, and she said, hold on a second. She said, this is the one I want. And I'm like, that's a great idea. And I ignored the Cadillac, the Lincoln Continental, the Lincoln MKZ. No, those were of no interest. She wanted the Mazda. And, you know, we're going to get the Mazda. And then I'm going to negotiate. Negotiating is much harder today than it used to be, especially if you're dealing with a real dealer and you're not a guy on the side of the road, you know, not a Craigslist car, a real car was certified to this and certified that and certified. It's a used car. Let's not get crazy here. But I'm going to make the following demands. I'm going to say, okay, turn on the Sirius XM for me for free. Give me a full tank of gas. You may recall your grandfather telling you that when he used to buy cars from a dealer, it came with a full tank of gas. The last time I bought a car from a dealer, it came with like an eighth of a tank of gas. No, he's going to give me a full tank of gas, and we're going to ask for $500 less than what they're asking for. It's the least they can do. I don't look forward to this at all. There's nothing. It isn't the dealer. It's Klaben, K-L-A-B-E-N. I like them fine. And no, I'm not getting anything for it. You know, hey, Dorenzo, where the hell is my car? No, I'm not getting a car. I'm not getting anything because I mentioned them on the air. They've just done us a lot of good things. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Alligator swamps. Pickly weedies for the stories. James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so nice. All right, for our first Florida story, we're going to Miami, Florida. And what we have here is, stop me if you heard this before, but someone managed to bamboozle the government out of hundreds of thousands of dollars of PPP loans from all the stimulus packages that were passed after the COVID pandemic. And this one's a little different, though. For one, this is a 31-year-old Florida woman. Oh, yes, a woman. Not that women are incapable of fraud. I've just noticed in these dirtbag PPP loan scams that the majority of them have been perpetrated by men. So that's one anomaly. Another one is, not only is she a woman, she's absolutely beautiful. If you go Google her name, you can find what she looks like. And even in her mugshot, she's beautiful. But something else about this story that I thought you'd be interested in is it follows this pattern. There was a couple other of these stories I've already told you about on Florida Stories where people were scamming the PPP system. One dude went out and he got a Lamborghini. Another guy went out and got a Ferrari. And this lady went out and she leased a Bentley. So a little different, you know, palette as far as expensive car tastes go. But I am baffled by these people. She managed to steal what we know of over $380,000 worth of money. And if you're going to go out and you're going to spend all this money immediately, this isn't a continuing income. This is like a one-shot deal. You know, so even if you do want to live the fraud, who are you fooling? How long are you going to fool them for? 9 months? A year? You're going to run out of money. And so I don't know if we just hear about the idiots that go out and blow it on, you know, stupid things because, you know, it's a good way to get caught, be a 31-year-old beautiful woman in a Bentley. Or maybe there are a bunch of people who ripped off the PPP loan system and they're not doing all the conspicuous consumption and getting caught. And maybe they did something smart with it because, you know, in hindsight, we've learned a lot from this pandemic, you know, not just necessarily about biohazards and epidemiology, but also if you're going to scam the government out of hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars, convert some of that to cash and just hide it, because these guys are going to prison for 2-3 maybe 7 years at the most. And you know, once you do your time and you get out, if you package some of that money, you don't have to go back to being broke. If you're going to do a scam, do it in a way that lasts. And I think that's been the big lesson from the pandemic that we should all learn.
Wait, Hold my beer.
Friday's Florida Story, we're staying in the Miami area. And on this one, we're going to a little causeway. It's amazing that no matter how bad traffic can get, if we all work together, we can get some things done in emergency situations. For example, if an ambulance or a fire truck has to come by, we can all find some way to scoot over and make way for the greater good. And I feel like there was a similar incentive when a plane had to make an emergency landing. Luckily, this was at night, and so there wasn't a whole lot of traffic to begin with. But this plane ends up landing on the highway. And it's not as miraculous or amazing as Sully Sullenberger landing in the Hudson and saving all those lives. This is just a little private plane with a few people on board. And, you know, it's not going to make national news. But it's just wild. How many times have you been driving down the road and zero times have you seen a plane land in the highway in front of you, right? And that, look, it is a rarity, and I guess it does happen sometimes, but look, happens in Florida.
Hold my beer.
All right, for our next Florida story, we're going to Palm Beach County, and you have seen these on the highway. Even if you're in a small town, they don't have them, but when you go to the big cities, you see those car dealerships that have this cool elevator system where it's like 6, sometimes 8-story tower of cars, and they have the windows all around it, and they have a little elevator in the middle that takes the cars up, and then they pull them off, and it looks so cool. You know, it looks like we're living in the year 3023, and they're all brightly lit, and it looks like a spaceship. So cool. Well, human beings make those elevators that lift the cars, and anything that's in a human endeavor, well, it is subject to failure because we are not perfect human beings. So what happens if you have a dealership that is trying to bring a car up or down and the elevator fails? Well, it just crashes to the bottom of the elevator shaft and you get some really cool video of it. And in Palm Beach County, it's a little worse than it sounds because the dealership that had the failed elevator is a Ferrari dealership. Oh, isn't that awful? It couldn't have been like a Honda Accord that fell down the shaft. It had to be a beautiful, shiny, new, amazing feat of engineering known as a Ferrari. Yes, and I mean, it's a beautiful gray color. That, look, the car is not in any way salvageable. Don't even get your hopes up if you're thinking that, oh, you know, a lot of that will just buff right out. No, it's not going to buff right out. And I, listen, I know it doesn't make any sense, but I would have felt a whole lot better if that had been like a Toyota Camry that got crushed in the elevator shaft. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
And our last Florida story is just awful. I can't believe this has happened again. We now have another Florida person. This is a Florida woman this time who's been killed by an alligator. And I jinxed him. I don't blame myself, but there was a guy who got killed by an alligator not too long ago, and I went and looked it up. I'm like, this is super duper rare. People almost never get killed by alligators in Florida. And I think this is like the third person I'm telling you about since I said that about a year ago. So I apologize for jinxing you good people of Florida. This one's extra tragic because the victim here is an 85-year-old Florida woman. Isn't that sad? It was a 10-foot alligator that took her down. We have the report here from clickorlando.com. They're channel 6.
Yeah, witnesses say the 10-foot-long gator lunged from the water without any warning. The gator was eventually captured, but neighbors, as you can imagine, are now on edge.
The St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office estimating the alligator was up to 10 feet long.
How much do you think it weighs?
6, 7?
Oh, easy.
Easy, 600-700 pounds.
Yeah. All right, first off, I love how nonchalantly they're like, yeah, this is a 10-foot alligator, 700 pounds. But boy, these bites and fatalities, they're totally rare. Yeah, I don't care how rare they are. I got a new plan for whenever I retire and I'm an 85-year-old walking my dog. I'm not going to live in a house that backs up to a habitat, to a pond that is housing 700-pound dinosaurs. Human-eating animals are not going to be in my backyard. I know that's a little harder to escape when you live in Florida, but, you know, you should put, like, your flag down somewhere. When you're looking for a new house, especially in retirement, you probably want a one-story house. You don't want to be going up and down stairs. Right. You probably want something that doesn't require a whole lot of maintenance. You probably want something that is easily accessible. Maybe it's got like the little handicap bars by the toilet or in the shower or whatever. And here's another recommendation. How about not having a 700-pound human eating dinosaur in your backyard? That should be like one of the standard bullet points for whenever you're finding your retirement home. I'm just going to throw that out there. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on Twitter at Florida Stories J. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Now, the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brooke, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Yargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.